Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
His living soul searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above. Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Mighty blessing on this program, that this, as this goes out across the airwaves, that God's word would do a mighty work in the hearts of his people. We have a wonderful guest with us today, and for all of you who are familiar with the Blue Army, and that's probably 98% of our listening audience, but for those of you who are not, don't turn your dial. We have a wonderful man with us today, a godly man, a worker in the vineyard, and his name is Michael LaCourte, and he's been the executive director of the Blue Army. The Blue Army, of course, is a world apostolate of Fatima, USA, and he's been that executive director for the past 6 years, and I'm going to let Michael himself tell you his journey, what brought him to where he is today, and why his heart's desire is to enlighten the minds and the hearts of all God's people to the truth of Fatima and the message of Our Lady. And with that, we're going to go to Michael. Michael, how are you?
Oh, good, good, Kathleen. I'm so excited to be with you today, and so happy to be able to talk to your audience as well, and so impressed with all that you've done to help bring Catholic radio to so many people.
Well, thank you, Michael. I can only tell you it's been my greatest belief and my joy that more Catholic radio, and of course I know you're of the same mind and heart to get God's word out. And I wanted to ask you, you know, all of us are on a journey, Mike, and as we are on this journey, we all have a story to tell. And I was really interested, you know, this is kind of cute, but just as a little caveat for our listeners, I had no idea who my guest was today.
Uh-huh.
And and when I came in the office, they said to me, oh, your guest today is Michael LaCourte. I was like, Michael LaCourte, where do I know that name from? And it dawned on me, because I was just talking to a friend of yours and a friend of mine yesterday, and he mentioned your name, and so when I came in, I was like, this is awesome. It's awesome to see God move and the power of His Spirit moving in us. It's the spirit of unity, of course. And bringing us together really was of the Lord. And I just want to praise and thank God. He is full of surprises. But tell me, Mike, before we get into everything about the Blue Army,
sure,
and the marvelous work it has been doing for so many years. And oddly enough, like I said, this was so ironic to me. Of course, I know it was a God moment, but I was watching Fatima the new movie coming out. I was sitting there with my daughter-in-law and my a few of my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And so when I came in here today and saw that you were my guest, it really blew me away. And I love what the Lord does. He's got a great sense of humor. But tell me, what drew you to get involved in the Blue Army and then to become the executive director of the Blue Army? What did God speak to your heart? What kind of a journey were you on to bring you where you are today as a man of faith, a man of hope, a man who loves our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and a man who really loves and honors Our Lady so?
You know, Kathleen, I don't know that I have a short story, and I don't want to make it a long story.
Okay.
It's sort of a strange story. I think I was blindfolded most of my life.
Yeah.
I went to a junior high, and you know how people say, you know, I went to a tough junior high or tough
right.
school or whatever. Well, this school was so tough that we actually burnt it down.
Wow.
And, you know, I didn't actually think I was getting much from that environment, and so I wanted to go to a different school. So I, you know, applied to different schools for high school, and I wanted to get out of the public system, and I happened to be lucky enough to go to Christian Brothers Academy, and it was really to escape from, you know, this public school environment, and I had 4 wonderful years there being taught by the brothers, and it was very exciting and thrilling, and during those years, you know, I learned this, at least. And it's, you know, it's really just a little piece of the Our Father that becomes so important to us. And it's, thy will be done.
Mm.
And, you know, I just sort of tried to live by God. Even my prayer to God has always been, God, let good things happen, please. Don't let me try to figure out what they are, because I'll mess it all up. I'll pick the wrong stuff. But if any way I can serve you, let me. And then I just lived a normal life. You know, I went to school, and then I went to a secular college, and I got a degree in accounting, and I was also a photographer, and I paid my tuition by doing photography in college. And then I went and became a general contractor and did construction, and we built hundreds of homes. And then I got into technology, and I was, when technology came out, and I sold, to thousands, hundreds of companies, hundreds and hundreds
right.
of companies. I did it 15 years, computer technology and information systems, software, hardware, training and support, and did all of this secular world stuff. And then I got involved in a lot of marketing and sales, and I did that for some of the big Fortune companies, and I was a financial analyst and a project manager for the big Fortune companies, and I owned my own companies, and then we had a restaurant that my family owned, and a real estate firm, and just really enjoyed it. Got involved in a lot of stuff. Got very involved in national politics. I was in meetings with the Speaker of the House and congressmen and those kinds of things, and was just living this life that took me all kinds of places. And I would say, God, you know, why is it that I have more careers than most people have jobs in their life?
You know, there was an ad in the paper, and the company I had worked for was a big company, and I covered sales and marketing for their construction product from Maine to South Carolina. And then there was an ad in the paper for an executive director of, and they described the organization. They didn't mm-hmm. actually say the name of it.
Right.
And I had spent, after college, I went to Arizona sort of as a lark, so a lot of my experience was there, and then I came back home again. And the ad was in the paper, and I just sort of applied. And then, you know, I was hired on, and every place that God had taken me through my life is something that is of value to me at this job here. So it's so wonderful for me to be able to tap in to all of that. We own a 100-room hotel in Fatima, Portugal, which we just turned into a beautiful 3-star hotel through renovations. We've had it for many years, and I oversee the hotel. And then we have a beautiful magazine, Soul Magazine, which just won wonderful award.
Yeah.
And we have a shrine. So, and the shrine had, you know, horrible computer systems. And when I got here, they had a fire that was just devastating and completely burnt down the chapel inside and did some structural damage outside. But, you know, I had the skill sets as a contractor to put that together.
Wow.
And to put the computer system back together and to make the magazine better and to get the word out to people, because I had experience in radio and TV promotion and advertising and, you know, just so many different places. And it all seems to, you know, be needed here and come together here in such a beautiful way. So, again, I would just completely blindfolded through my life and went through it enjoying it. And of course, everybody has their ups and downs.
Right.
And then found myself here, and I am so glad that I am able to do God's work and also use whatever skills God gave me along the way.
You know, Mike, you hit an important part. God, throughout your life, and as you said, and I think most people who are listening, a lot of us could relate to that blindfolded part. and I think that really you touch people's heart when you share that about yourself, because all in the midst of that, even when we don't know, really, we know God is God, and we know He's, you know, the three persons in one God. We know all that, head knowledge. But sometimes we go along our life and we don't really realize, as you say, that God is with us at every moment, constantly preparing us for what He has in store for us. And we're clueless.
Yeah.
And look how He used your gifts, how He brought you along throughout your lifetime, nurturing you, giving you gifts and talents. When you finally, you know, yielded to His prompting of His Spirit in you, and you decided to leave the secular world, leave the business world, and wanted to really step out into what God's plan was for Mike LaCourte. And in essence, He used every gift He had given you throughout your lifetime. He was preparing you from way back when the school burned down.
Yeah.
He was setting a fire in your heart.
Yeah.
In a different way to ignite the hearts of others. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and it amazes me too. And so many things amaze me. So many wonderful things that I've been exposed to here. And I know that, you know, I'm not the cause of any of it. I'm just this small little piece that, you know, hopes to be able to find the path that God wants me to walk and do the things that God wants me to do. And I'm lucky enough that, you know, God is directing me well, and just so happy to be able to be of service and
yeah.
to be able to bring what God gave me to it, like you say. And I was completely oblivious my whole life
yep.
to the fact that this is where I'd wind up.
Me too.
I'd be now. I don't know where I'll wind up, but
right,
this is where I'd be now.
Yeah, God is good. I, you know, all of us have a vision. And, you know, the Lord tells us in Scripture, people without a vision perish. But you have a vision for Blue Army, for the Blue Army, as their executive director. I remember myself when I had a vision when mm-hmm. I finally, after kicking and screaming, said yes to taking over this radio apostolate. I remember saying to my children, I really believe in my heart and soul that God gave me a vision for here. And I said, I really think that God's going to raise this ministry up. I really believe. I said, I think we'll have a satellite or something. And they said to me, oh, Mom, I can't believe that. You know, I can't believe you think that. I said, well, it isn't what I'm thinking. It's the sense that I have when I said yes. Well, when you said yes, did you really understand what you were saying yes to?
I had absolutely no idea.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely no idea in the world what I was walking into
yep.
and the shape that it was in and the potential that was there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been here, 6.5 years now, so I've got my feet wet, and I am just so amazed at the intricate web that I see that Our Lady and God have built. You know, it's like a beautiful, beautiful tapestry, and I am blessed enough to be able to see a couple threads.
Yes, that's
right. And it's just so wonderful to be part of that. It's indescribable. And I didn't lay the tapestry out. I'm not even a thread, but I'm able to, you know, maybe push just a little piece of something in a certain place to make things happen. But some of the things that I've been able to touch, I know started back in the 1500s.
It's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And they're beautiful stories. And, you know, we don't have time to go through them all. But it's just phenomenal. And, again, I just touch a little piece of it, perhaps. But it's part of this plan, this web. And, again, I can't see the whole thing. I can only see a few threads. But those threads are so magnificently beautiful.
Yes. Well, again, we have the Master Weaver to thank, right?
Yeah.
I want to talk a little about the movie, the video I had watched. I know it's a newly released Fatima, and of course it's on Our Lady's appearance in Fatima, and that was back in 1917. But there was something in this video that I really never saw in another one before, and you know, I've seen all the Fatima movies. I think there was so much, what would I say, technology involved in putting this together, where, you know, history, science, theology, so many different aspects of the Fatima message were in that documentary. And maybe you could give our family of listeners today the difference, you know, between this newly released Fatima compared to what we're used to seeing on the you know, I'll date myself from when I was a little girl seeing Fatima in the movie, you know, and then we saw different videos that came out through the years. But this was done well, and as John Paul II, or I always think he'll be called John Paul the Great, of course, and he made his statement about he felt that the message of Fatima was more important now than ever. So what a timely message to come out in our culture today.
Yeah, it is. And again, it's another one of those stories that just sort of things evolve according to a plan that wasn't mine. But of somebody that I was closely associated with here, who has been part of the Blue Army for a long time, who was an attorney, put me in touch with a production company that he was in touch with. And they have produced over 400 films, most of them for the History Channel. Mm-hmm. But they're also a very Catholic family in their second generation. And they came to me and they said, Mike, we want to do a movie on Fatima, and we want to do it on the fact that the third secret hasn't been revealed. And I said, well, you can't do that movie. And I said, the reason you can't do that movie is that what you're going to do is you're going to tell the wonderful story of Fatima and the messages that were received from heaven and the most profound miracle since Jesus walked the face of the earth.
Amen.
The only miracle ever ever predicted as to time and place, where 70,000 people gathered and they all experienced this tremendous miracle that was so profound because the message is so profound. And then you're going to explain what the message is, and you're going to explain that the message came from, you know, through the Blessed Mother to Sister Lucia and then to us. And then you're going to say the third secret hasn't been revealed when Sister Lucia says it has been revealed.
Yeah.
So you've destroyed her credibility, thus you've destroyed the entire credibility of the movie, and you've wasted all your money. So they said, well, Mike, what can we make the movie on? And I went back to the quote you just said, in my own mind, of John Paul II saying, the Holy Father said, Fatima is more important now than ever. And I said, you know, you don't have to mess and distort the message of Fatima. What people don't understand is why it is so relevant to our lives today and what it can bring us. And if we just tell the story, but don't end it in 1917, but look at the prophecies and the secrets and the messages within the message of Fatima, and then go through the timeline of history and pull out every time those prophecies were fulfilled and show what took place and how it took place, and then bring it to what is going on in the world today and explain the trouble troubles that we are having today along with the solutions. And I also suggested not looking at it just from the position of the Catholic Church or theology, but for those that need a little strengthening in their faith, also, let's look at it scientifically.
Yeah.
Let's look at the miracle of the sun and get a scientist, a renowned physicist, to tell us whether or not that miracle could really take place. And let's look at the power of prayer. And, of course, you, Kathleen, and all of the people that are in your audience know the power of prayer. Mm. But the people who don't know it are the people who don't pray.
Right.
And let's... And I know there's been a lot of science applied to prayer, and let's look at the science behind prayer and see what it tells us. So let's look at this from a few different perspectives so that we can do as Archbishop Sheen tried to do in his, whenever he gave a talk or a retreat, he said that he tried to bring information that would allow the elephants to drink and the sparrows to sip.
Mm.
So those that don't know much about the message of Fatima would be able to learn some things, perhaps from different perspectives of less faith and increase their faith. And those with a lot of faith would learn new things as well. So that was the premise that we ran with.
Well, I think it was a remarkable premise because... to see, you know, to see that through the prism of science and physics, it gave a whole, I don't want to say credibility, because certainly the Fatima story is more than credible, but it really did, especially for people that aren't aware, and as you say, the sparrows will be sipping it, truly, it gives a whole new sense of responsibility to the message. And it gives great credence to that from a world of science, from a world of physics, and especially, you know, I loved how you also put in there, I don't know when that person was found, but the old movie of that person that was actually one of the people that was actually there and saw the miracle of the sun. I thought that was phenomenal.
I'm going to have to tell you the story behind that.
Go ahead.
And again, it's one of those things where you know you're touched from heaven.
Mm.
What Kathleen is talking about is there's an eyewitness to the miracle of the sun, and his name is Dominic Reyes. And he was interviewed by the World Apostolate of Fatima, the Blue Army, on TV. We used to broadcast on TV back in 1957, and a film was shot. And he describes the miracle of the sun in ways that I had never heard of it, with such detail and such credibility, because he was there.
Yeah.
He was actually there and very close to the children. And he talked not only about the sun spinning in the sky and all the different colors that you had never seen in the sky and the sun falling to earth, but also about the fact that it was pouring rain that day and there was, you know, puddles everywhere and everybody was drenched. And when the sun came crashing towards the people, they all fell to their knees scared and in prayer, and they thought that their lives were going to end, and they got mud all over themselves. And then at the end, as the sun receded, this big wind blew, this, you know, strong wind blew through the whole area, but he noticed that not a leaf rustled on any of the trees. And then they looked down, and the ground that had, you know, a tremendous amount of water and puddles and rain on it was as dry as it could be. He says, as dry as this floor is right here. And then they looked around at each other in amazement because all their clothes were as clean as if they had just come out of the laundromat.
Hmm.
And it's a phenomenal telling of the story, a phenomenal piece of film.
Yes.
And we had lost it for decades. And we're a 67-year-old organization, so there's a lot of stuff that we've done, and we had a fire here. And for the celebration of the 90th anniversary of the apparitions of Fatima, the shrine in Fatima, Portugal, knew we had this film, and they asked me if I would send them a copy. And, of course, I would have, but I had no idea of its existence, and we looked around, and I, you know, let them know that the film didn't exist anymore, and we must have lost it in a fire. And then we were involved in the production of this movie, and we got to the point where we were just about to start editing it, and one of the maintenance men that works here, and we have 150 acres here, came to me and he said, "Mike, I found a trailer on our site." And I said, "Well, what's in the trailer?" This is a big tractor trailer, 18-wheeler kind of trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I don't know. It's locked." I said, "Well, you know, cut the lock and let's see." He cuts the lock, Kathleen, and in there are 1,500 cans of film.
Oh, I just got chills all over my body, Mike. I call them spirit bumps.
Yeah. 1,500 cans of film. Now, this is in a trailer in the sun, you know, it's like a sardine can out in the sun. And I'm looking at these cans of film and going, gee, I wonder if that clip is in here, but how would we ever find it, and especially in time? So I said to the maintenance guy, you know, open your trunk, and he did, and we both pick cans, and we throw them in the trunk, and I said, bring them over to the production company, and we'll just see what happens. So they brought them over, and the owner of the production company said to his son, you know, go through this, and if you find any gems, you know, I'll give you this reward. So the his child, you know, studiously goes through all of this film. And, you know, it was only what we could fit in there,
right,
which is an extremely small percentage of what was really there. And lo and behold, not only did he uncover the film, it was in perfect shape.
Now, that's amazing when you say it must have been sweltering in there,
you know? Yep. So we incorporated some of it into the film, and I have some more that I put in another film that I just called The Miracle of the Sun. And we go into more detail on that. But it's amazing footage, and I learned so much more about the message, about the miracle itself, and how profound the message must be to have this kind of a miracle. And even watching this strengthened my faith even more, because, you know, this is just, you know, such a message from God saying, hey, I exist, I'm here. And this message is important. I'm telling you that there are two paths. One path leads to souls that are lost, war so terrible that nations will be annihilated, and much suffering within the church. And the other path leads to the salvation of souls and world peace. What could be more important to mankind than that?
Mm-hmm.
And a strengthening church. And I'm going to send my mother to not only to tell you that, but to give you the solution as to how to get off of the wrong path and onto the right path.
Wow.
And Kathleen, I don't believe God would have done that if he didn't believe we could get off of the wrong path and onto the right path.
Well, you're a man after my own heart, Michael. Hopefully you can stick around for the next half hour. We're going to take a short break.
Sure.
And we'll be right back. My brothers and sisters, don't go away. Well, we're back again today. And this is Kathleen McCarthy, What the World Needs Now. And, of course, what the world needs now is for us to go out and allow the light of Christ in us to proclaim the truth of our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, to get our get the light into the world, to dispel the terrible darkness that this world is in right now. And there's a very important young man working to do just that, and his name is Michael LaCourte, and we've been talking to him for the past half hour, and we're getting into talking about the newly released movie Fatima, and it's just fascinating. So I hope you're listening well, and Michael, maybe you can continue as we talk about this. I was saying a few moments ago how you know, John Paul II, of course, our former Holy Father, said that the message is more important now, more relevant now than ever. And, of course, due to the situations, abortion, and the evil that's taken place in the world, and loss of respect for life, and broken marriages, it goes on and on and on. We know that God, as you said, sent his mother, one like us, one that gave Jesus the very body he would sacrifice for all of us. And so we're very grateful for this Fatima message. And one of the things I really wanted to state, too, is our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, of course, visited Fatima on May 13th, and right there in Portugal. And he visited the village, of course, where the three little, well, almost saints now, I guess, but where they first saw the vision of Our Lady, and where the whole story began. And I just want to quote a message that I just pulled up, I thought was really profound, from Pope Benedict XVI. And he says, Mary's apparitions at Fatima has not ended and has special reverence and relevance for a world still caught in a cycle of death and terror. And how true that is. I mean, here we have John Paul II speaking about the importance of this message. And then we have our Holy Father Benedict the 16th again saying the same thing. And you were articulated it very well, Mike, when you said that there is this message is as important as ever to get out to every man, woman, and child, because there is two paths, and there's a clear line in the sand, and you're either, what did he say? He said it himself, you're either with me or against me. And so we have a decision to make, all of us, and I think the message of Fatima, this newly released one especially, because I was so impressed with it, that hopefully it can increase all of us who have faith, and it can inspire and create enlightenment in the minds and hearts of those who did not know the fullness of the Fatima message and the fullness of God's love for mankind. So why don't you speak a little bit, maybe how our Holy Father's visit to Portugal and the shrine there, that had to be a tremendous moment in history, really, for him coming there and celebrating Mass there, especially being in the village of Fatima.
Yeah, it was quite amazing and quite fascinating, as it always is. Pope John Paul II, of course, was called the Fatima Pope for a number of reasons. He felt that his life was spared when Ali Aka attempted to assassinate him because of the message of Fatima, and he felt that he was... The third secret pertained to that attempted assassination, and he went in 1980 and actually took the bullet. I think it was a little after that. I'm sorry, but took the bullet that was removed from his body and put it in the crown of the Blessed Mother.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. And he, Father Andrew Apostoli, tells a story that. That the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, went to Ali Aka in prison to forgive him for attempting to assassinate him. And Ali Aka said to the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, I am a trained assassin. I don't miss. Whose feast day was it when I shot you? And it happened to be May 13th, day of the Fatima, the feast of Fatima. And Pope John Paul II, said, one hand guided the bullet, and another hand one hand guided the gun, and another hand guided the bullet, because the bullet took a strange, circuitous route through his body and just barely missed vital organs that would have killed him immediately. So we look at that as just another miracle. And then when Pope Benedict XVI comes to say again to the entire world, this is a place of importance. Something important happened here, and it happened almost 100 years ago, but it's still just as important today as ever, perhaps more so today, because we have so many people have turned their backs on God, and it has resulted in such confusion, such chaos, that we find ourselves in a world that we just are making decisions that don't make any sense and are leading us down a path that is, as predicted in Fatima, could very well lead to the destruction of nations.
Right.
I don't know where, when, why, or how, but, this was predicted in 1917 before there was even any thought of weapons of nuclear destruction or chemical weapons or biological weapons. And now you got saber rattling between North Korea and South Korea and in the Middle East and with Israel, and, you know, and we did make it through the Cold War, and I truly believe we made it through the Cold War because we followed the message of Fatima.
I agree, Mike. I absolutely agree. You know, the church itself, I mean, we have so many, you know, our churches have lost so many of their people.
Yep.
As you said, they've really turned their back, for whatever reasons, have turned their back on the Lord, turned their back on His beautiful mother, and which is a gift to us. We forget that sometimes, that He gave her to us right from the cross. And in that thought of a world that is in so desperate need of God's healing love, His forgiveness, His mercy, you know, Jesus, I trust in you. This message of Fatima, particularly coming out in the way that you have it portrayed in this new video, the one that I, as I said, I was watching, where you see it through the prism of science, you see it through you know, physics and an eyewitness. I mean, it's profound. And I've seen many of the movies before, and it just goes to show you how much more it is for our day, because we have the technology to, you know, bring the truths forth from that message that we didn't have many, many years ago. So the reality of the message comes out loud and clear. And I can't help but think that if there's one thing that will bring the people back to the Lord, that will fill again the churches, sadly to say, oftentimes is when the Lord, you know, allows things to happen where we fall on our knees. Sometimes when we fall on our knees, and they're the times we really look to the Lord, sadly to say. And I think that's what happened to Fatima. Those people were so afraid. They were so scared. And when I looked at the video again, and I saw all the people with their arms up in the air, Michael, and crying out to God for mercy and help them, He saw their plea. He saw the sincerity of their heart, that for the first time, maybe many years, people were calling out to God to save them. And I think, again, maybe that's why the miracle of the sun happened. So leaving a visible sign for all of us to see, even to this day and to this time, particularly through that eyewitness that you found, you know, a moment of great grace finding that movie. That little clip that you put in the video. So what's your thoughts on the state of the world today, of course, but even in the church? I think, you know, even Mother Church, her truths are true. They're without error. And yet so many times, you know, the church needs purification too. The church meaning us.
Yeah. Well, if I go back to the Cold War, for those of us that lived through it, we realized that that was the time where the world was despondent.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have an answer. We had no idea as to how to fix this problem. The problem, of course, was that two nations were at each other's throats, and they both had the ability to destroy the entire world. And so many times it came so close, with Khrushchev pounding his shoe on the desk at the UN saying, "We will bury you, we will bury you." And at that point, they had a 100-megaton nuclear bomb, and they could have buried us. They were ahead of us in that race. And then with the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I won't go into it because, you know, it'll take too much time, but there is a whole lot now that is being released, new information about what really took place, and we were even closer to a nuclear war at that point than we thought we were. And we would have lost that battle in Cuba. It's not that we would have gone in and got rid of the missiles by blowing them up, because we didn't realize at the time that they had what are called tactical nuclear weapons. In other words, weapons they could have used to blow the ships that we had off of their shore and not hurt Cuba. They were scaled-down weapons. And all of America, all of the world knew that the gun was pointed at our head. So we looked to God for help, and there were millions and millions and millions of people who joined the Blue Army and took the pledge to pray every day the rosary to our Blessed Mother for peace on earth. And I think it is all of those prayers going up to heaven and everybody asking for God's help. Because in Fatima, he did say, ask for peace and I will grant it to you. Ask for salvation of souls and I will grant it to you. Ask for a strong church and I will grant it to you. But we have to ask.
Mm.
And we ask then. But then, you know, without a shot being fired after the consecration of Russia, you know, Gorbachev has a change of heart.
Yep.
He goes and he visits the Pope. I mean, this is unheard of, unthinkable for those of us that lived during this era, because the era of Russia that was being spread throughout the world is Russia was forcing atheism on their people and saying, government will be more important in your life than God. God is not relevant anymore. They forced that on the poor Russian people and then pushed it from nation to nation to nation around the world. And all of a sudden, all of that disappeared without a shot being fired after the consecration. The communist flag came down over the Kremlin on Christmas Day for the last time. So many things happened, and now all of a sudden, Russia is going through this huge spiritual resurgence, and so much good spirituality is taking place in Russia. I've been there three times. I've witnessed so many, you know, wonderful things. They teach theology in the schools. They know how important it is for a society to have God as part of it. They practice freedom of religion. They're not trying to remove Christmas from the schools and Easter and Christmas songs from the Christmas pageants. They're, you know, there's no embarrassment about saying Merry Christmas when you're buying Christmas presents or selling them to somebody. They're not ripping prayer out of the schools. They're actually instituting it as something that is okay. And we're doing the opposite. And I think it's because things just got good, got easy. And we said to ourselves, you know, we're not going to deny God's existence. It's sort of like taking out a death insurance policy, because when I die, you know, he might be there, and I might, you know, need his help and want him to be there now. But I really don't need to make him part of my life because I'm doing okay without him. And we're only looking at the material aspects of that. And while we're thinking that, everything's crumbling down around us, but we just don't notice it. You know, we're focused on our day-to-day activities, and everything seems okay, and all solutions seem to be solved through science or medicine or through hard work without bringing in the spiritual component. And if there's anything in the message of Fatima, it's that we have that these problems that we face in the world are more spiritual than they are economic or political or military, and the solution is spiritual. And now I think as things start getting tougher and tougher, and we're not there yet, but as they get tougher, I know more people are coming here to the shrine. We had 3,500 people here, and we only had 1,500 seats, and it was a joyous occasion on the 13th of this month, and we'll be celebrating on the 13th of every month in the message of Fatima. And I think more people are turning back to the pews, but we lost 85% of the Catholics already are no longer in
That's
the
right.
pews. So we have a long way to go, but the message of Fatima is a message of hope.
Amen.
And I believe that we will make this turn. We have a lot of work to do. We have to get out there. Those of us that are blessed, that know this message, that know the solution to these problems, are given added responsibility, and I think we will prevail. And, of course, it won't be us, but it will be us working hard, and hearts will be changed as we do our job of repentance and prayer and get others to understand how important this message is, and we must spread this message, and that's one reason why I am so excited about this film, because it helps people, it helps families come to understand, you know, what's going on in the world, because, you know, why did we lose the World Trade Centers? You know, we didn't do anything to offend or create any harm in Iraq and Iran and any of those places. And they knocked down the World Trade Centers. Well, why? Well, the message of Fatima has the answer, and it has a solution.
And that's the good news. The good news that, you know, we know that Satan and evil in the world seems to be flourishing and seems to be have all this power. But and that's only because of our own free will. We allow him to have full reign. But I think this message of Fatima reminds all of us, each and every one of us, that although the evil is in the world, that he who is in us is far greater than he who is in the world. And as long as we remember that, we will be filled with the holy boldness we need to continue to fight that good fight and run the good race. And you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you so much. But it's really above. You know, it's all a whole lot of people working hard and coming from above. And, you know, I do believe, actually, the message says, Mary, the Blessed Mother says, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. There will be peace on earth. But as you say, we have free will, and the only question is, will we use our free will to bring peace on earth before we bring a barrage of hell to earth first?
Amen.
And I hope, you know, we bring very little trouble before we can pave the way for Blessed Mother's Immaculate Heart to triumph.
And I think, again, just stating what you just said, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, of course, we always have those visions of the ship with the two columns, you know, and Our Lady in the middle of them. And I think you can sense more and more, I sense, that this we're going to see this. This is another thing that will really be fulfilled, you know. All the prophecies that came forth in that video that I viewed today, seeing how in our own time, even though it was so many years before prophesied, but in our own time, how we can see how relevant they were, looking back now and saying, wow, this was... you know, back in 1917, and here all these prophecies that came forth from Fatima really took place. And now we do have the eyes to see and ears to hear to recognize that these were prophecies that were fulfilled. And, you know, I'd love to have you back on again. I'd like also to talk about something that's close to my heart, of course, the brown scapular. I'd like to talk about... just what penance means for all of us today. What does that really mean? And I'd also like to talk, you know, about the what it means for the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And we only have about 3 minutes left. I was wondering if you'd be so kind to sort of give a message from your heart to the hearts of all of us who are listening, all those on Catholic Radio. Of course, this is going out worldwide through the internet as we this program today. But for all those who are listening, what do you think is the most profound message that you want to leave with our listeners today for this time and this place in this age?
Well, Kathleen, I appreciate that, and I want to let you know before we run out of time how much I've appreciated spending time with you and your audience, and I'd surely love to come back whenever it works out for you.
Good.
But what the message of Fatima, I think, brings to us, and we've talked about a lot about the dark side of the message of Fatima, it brings the reality that hell does exist. It brings the reality that wars can be terrible, annihilate nations. It brings the reality that the church can suffer much. And, you know, who would have thought when we were kids that the church would be in the shape it is today, as far as people just not participating anywhere near the way they used to. There used to be 110,000 teaching sisters when I was young. Now there's less than 10,000.
That's right.
In the United States. So we've seen some huge changes over our times. But the message of Fatima is a message of hope. And it's a message where we should not become despondent, because all of us can fight in this battle. And it doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't even matter how sick we are. If we can still think, we can still pray. And if we can still pray, we can add that spiritual nourishment that the Heavenly Mother talked about, that the world needs. Those things that we do that are positive, that are good things, whether they're acts of kindness, to our fellow man, or spiritual acts of prayer or penance or reparation, they all repair the damage that not only our sins do, but the damage that other sins do. It like neutralizes the negative effect and turns it from a negative into a positive. We just need more people to understand that and do that. And I do believe that God, as I said before, would not have come down with this message, with this peace plan, if he did not believe that we could do it. Mm-hmm. And I know we can do it. I saw it done in the Cold War, and I think we will do it again. And unfortunately, I think we're going to need a little more encouragement.
Yes.
And that encouragement may not be pretty. But I have a lot of hope and faith in everybody that's listening and everybody out there. And I know that, the peace of the Lord, comes from this spirituality and bringing this spirituality to ourselves. And, I just pray that the peace of the Lord will be with every one of your listeners and spread to their family and to their loved ones and to the community and throughout the world. And I think that's what the message of Fatima is about. The peace that there is in turning towards God rather than away from him and bringing him back into our lives is both a spiritual peace and a peace on earth.
Amen. Well, God bless you, Mike. God bless all of your efforts, all of your undertakings, and may Our Lady wrap you in her mantle, hold you close and your family close to her own Immaculate Heart, and may the power of the Holy Spirit fall upon you to do much more work that God has called you to do, to bring a message of truth and life into a dying world. God bless you.
Well, God bless you, and thank you so much, Kathleen, and I thank all the listeners, and please keep Kathleen on the air. What she's doing is tremendously important, and it's not easy, and it needs both the spiritual help and the financial help. Even in Fatima, the Blessed Mother asked the three children to take up a collection because a shrine needed to be built, and that shrine is now the huge shrine in Fatima, Portugal. It takes both, so please help where you can.
God bless you, Mike. Look forward to having you back. Bye now. My brothers and sisters, remember, in the world you will have tribulation, but as the scriptures say, take heart. He has overcome the world. God bless you.